awesome time, and God did some wonderful things, and so good to be here. And I actually was just booking a flight in Africa right then. I felt a bit distracted, but I fly to Africa in the morning at 6 o'clock, and I realized I hadn't booked my internal flight.
Oops.
So I just was just right then.
Oh, that's cool.
While the offering was happening, I'm like, oh, I need to book that flight. So
I don't know why I told you that.
Just a couple of years ago, my wife and I, Savannah, moved to Africa, South Africa, and we launched a ministry there called Awaken Africa. And it's been an awesome time. We've seen over 2,500 people saved in the last 10 months. We've seen hundreds of people healed, hundreds of people delivered, and just God's doing some really awesome stuff as we're pioneering this new season. And we've got volunteers on the ground there. But this just last year in November, we took a team of 11 people into the bush in Kenya. It was an awesome time. And in fact, this year in August, we're taking around 30 people to that same place. And then in 2020, we're actually believing to take 100 missionaries into this same town into Kenya. And so it was an awesome time. But I just wanted to quickly show a little video of what happened there. And then we're going to get into the word for today. So if we could watch that, that would be awesome. Awesome time we had up in Kenya, and a really just life-changing trip for everybody. But you know, this morning I want to come bring a message to you around the topic. You saw the bishop wearing the devil is a liar t-shirt.
Yes.
And it's actually a huge deal because in their culture they all wear three-piece suits to church.
Wow.
They in the dirt, like you saw. Yeah. When I'm preaching, we're preaching for an hour and a half in the sun. So like in Australia, we try and shrink our services. There, they're like preach longer, like preach more.
Yeah.
And so actually preaching in the hot sun. And but that bishop, we gave him the shirt, and it was a huge deal because he actually took off his suit and put on that shirt, and it was actually such a huge expression of freedom.
Wow.
Because there's nothing wrong with suits, but when we think suits make us more important or spiritual, then we're stepping into religious
and
works.
Right.
And sometimes in that culture, it becomes the priority, looking important rather than coming in as a servant. And so it was a huge deal. And by all means, I don't think wearing suits is a wrong thing, but it was cool to see what he was representing to the people that he's overseeing.
Yeah, so cool.
And I point that out because this morning I want to speak to you around the topic of the devil is a liar.
Yeah, wow.
Just say that this morning. Say the devil is a liar.
The devil is a liar.
And I truly believe it's one of the most profound truths that we can establish in our hearts to recognize that the devil is a liar. Because who here knows somebody who lies all the time? That is a compulsive liar. Anyone know someone who lies all the time? Anybody here, one of those people that lies all the time? Now you're lying to me already. I can't even get the truth out of you. But you know, wouldn't it be foolish to listen to people who lie all the time? Like if you know someone's a liar and you ask them questions, to listen to them would be stupid. In the same way, we have to recognize that the devil is a liar, and because when we realize this, we'll stop listening to him.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds like, of course we wouldn't listen to the devil, but when you're being lied to, you don't always know it's the devil. Because sometimes the lies sound good, sometimes they sound intelligent, sometimes they seem right. But one of the things I want to present to us today is the understanding that if the devil is a liar, we shouldn't listen to him. But often we don't know the truth. And if you don't know the truth, then we won't recognize the lie.
Yeah, that's it.
Because if it sounds good, we sometimes think it is good. But if it's not the truth, then we should not listen to it. But we live according to the truth of God's word, not according to what's popular in pop culture.
Yeah.
We live according to the word of God, not what's hot on Instagram right now or on Facebook or what's hot around our lives. Like just because something presents itself as good doesn't mean it is good according to the biblical standard of living. Amen?
Yeah.
And you know, in the book of Psalms 119 verse 105, I love this passage. It says that your word is a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart.
Yeah.
My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. I love this passage of scripture because the writer is writing, he's saying, I will live my life according to your word, God, not according to what seems right to a man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for us, we have to understand, as if you are a Christian, if you've decided to submit yourself to the Lordship of Jesus, then you've decided to submit yourself to his ways and his teachings, which we find in the Bible.
Yeah.
That's part of what we choose to do. You see, the world who don't follow Jesus aren't required to live according to God's statutes and his laws and his ways. That's not what they're required to do because they've not chosen to submit themselves under his ways, but we have. And so I want us as a people of God to recognize that if you don't know how to live your life in this generation, you need to go to the word to find out how you ought to do it.
Right.
If something comes up that you feel is contradictory to the ways of Christ, but you feel in your heart maybe it's the right way, if you follow Jesus, you need to go and find the truth in the Bible, not according to your experience.
Yes.
We are caught, and we live in a crazy generation where the world is going crazy. Like there are laws passing, there are ways of thinking that are being presented to us that are very crazy. Like, do you agree? Like,
yeah.
You know, there's moral things. Like, as Christians, we believe we live according to God's word. And so when it says, you know, for us, you know, sleeping with someone outside of marriage is something that we live by according to God's word. Right? So we live, and that makes sense. Or for us and to the world, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But it's, if we look at those who don't follow Jesus and they decide they want to do that, you can kind of see how, well, you know, I guess it's for them, it makes sense that they're attracted, they love that person, therefore they want to sleep with that person.
Yeah.
So it's not right according to God's standard, but it makes sense. But there are some things that are being presented to us in this generation that don't even make sense on a common sense level.
Yeah.
Like, some of it's just absolutely crazy. And the funny thing is how we have these really incredibly intelligent, well-studied leaders who are making really stupid decisions.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even make sense on common sense level.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? So we live in a very deceiving generation, but if we don't understand the truth as believers, then we might fall subject to those lies because it's the way that seems right to a man. It's this thing, and it grips you, and you feel like you can't even talk about these things. You feel like you can't even have an opinion on these things without being called a bigot, without being called naive, without being saying you're from the Stone Ages. No, no. We believe that there are certain ways that God designed for us to live, and we find them in His Word, that God created Adam and Eve, that God made man and a woman, that God made a covenant called marriage, that God has set up His laws not to control us, but to release us to walk in everything that He has for us. This is what we're, so we have to recognize that there's a truth found in the Word, but that the devil is a liar. But if we don't know the truth, we won't recognize his lies, and then we'll live subject to his lies, and we'll find ourselves walking in a path that God has not intended for us to live. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So I want to read this scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6. It says, "Humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." Verse 7, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Verse 8, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings." And verse 8, it says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." When I first moved to South Africa, I went to a lion park. Now, in Africa, they have things called lion parks. You've heard of game farms, and you can see the elephants and the rhinos, and they have lion parks. Now, in South Africa, you can drive your own car through these lion parks, which is awesome, but in Australia, there's no way that would ever happen. Like, we're very strict in this country.
Yeah.
But there you can just drive your own regular car through a park full of lions. And so when we got there, we thought, what a great idea. And so we got this new car, and I took with Savannah, she was 3 weeks pregnant, we're 2 weeks in Africa. And we went to this park, and we went to the gate where the lions are, and they opened in the gate, and the guard's there, and he said, "Look, just so you know, before you go in, these lions are a little bit naughty." Now, lions are enough as it is, let alone naughty lions, right? And so we're like, cool. He's like, "So if they come to your car, just drive away, just slowly, it'll be no problem." And I'm like, okay, no problem. Now, mind you, this man's telling me about the naughty lions, but he's only got one arm. Now, he swears that's not from the lion, but who knows, the devil's a liar, right? So we're like, we just can't believe everything that everybody says. And so we drive into this park, and we're driving around, and there's some beautiful lions there, the magnificent creatures. And slowly one of them starts to get up, and I'm like, cool, now we're seeing, because they're all laying down, but now they're up, and I'm like, that's amazing. And he starts walking towards the car, and so, you know, it's like a lion, so you get a little bit more nervous. And eventually he gets really close to the car, and now your nerves are really up. Then he can start feeling him playing with the back of my car. I can feel this naughty lion just playing with my tires on my car. And so now the adrenaline's really going up, because you hear stories of tourists in Johannesburg who put their camera out of the car and the lion pulls them out of the car. Like, these are real things that happen.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, whoa. Yeah.
It's true. And so that then, so then I okay, cool, just relax. So the naughty lions have come, slowly drive my car away. So we came in over here, which was the entry, and I assumed entry, exit. And so I start heading towards what looked like the exit. And as I get to this exit with this lion now following my car, hitting my tire, I get there and I find myself in a dead end. So now we're in a dead end, and all of a sudden I know the lion's there, but I can no longer see the lion. So anything worse than a naughty lion playing with your car is a naughty lion near your car that you don't know now where it is. Like, if you can see it, you have some sort of control. If you can't see it, you feel like, where, you know, what's going on? So adrenaline kicks in, I put the car in reverse, and because my adrenaline's going, I actually stalled the car, which is really embarrassing. But these things happen, so I turn the car back on, now it's getting worse. And I slowly reverse the car out of this dead end. I can't see the lion anywhere, and I'm just thinking, I know he's there though. And so you're just on edge. And then eventually I pulled it out and I went to go back to where the exit was. And as we took off, out of nowhere, this lion, I kid you not, jumps up, puts his paws on either side of my car and his face on the back windshield. Now we're like screaming, like, you know, like, you're like, oh my gosh, go, it's like a brand new car, but it's 2018, so Seth's like, but get a photo. So we're like going and you're trying to like snap selfies to capture this lion on your car, because who's going to believe the story? And actually, if you look in our phone, there's like these funny blurry photos of the lion on the back of our car. You can't really see it, but we get out of the lion park and get out and I check my car, and thank God there was no scratches on any side of the car. Except on the very back, he'd bitten a chunk out of the back of my bumper. This is a really naughty lion. All that to say, when I went into the lion park, I was not informed of where the exit was. And so I didn't understand the way to get out. And so when I found myself in a situation, I assumed the exit was here and I went for it and found myself in a spot. But I want to present to us today that we need to be informed that Jesus is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. If you want to know how to live your life, we live it according to Jesus and his standards and his ways, not according to the way that seems right to a man. Yes. That's how you find yourself in a spot. You see, the devil is a liar, but we have to know the truth so we can recognize the lie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Point number one this morning is this, that Satan has power.
Like,
it's not my favorite topic to talk about, Satan having power, and in no way do I intend on glorifying Satan. In fact, I hate him as a cut-off, withering branch. But the Bible says in the scripture that we read, be alert and of sober mind. Be aware. Do not be caught unawares. You have an enemy. So while we don't want to glorify Satan and his power, we need to acknowledge that he's real and that he has power. You know, one of the, we have to realize he has an assignment against our lives. He says he's like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Can I tell you, he's devoured those who don't believe in him or I mean God already. He's looking to devour those who already do believe. He has an assignment to destroy your life. He has an assignment to destroy your marriage. People think, you know, Satan has no power. Did you know Satan was God's worship leader? And because of pride, he turned on God. And when he came, when he left heaven, when he was kicked out, he had convinced a third of God's angels to come with him. He has this sense. He's the author of anxiety. He's the creator of cancer. He wants to destroy. He has an assignment on marriages. Did you know often your marriage, although you can fix a few things yourself, don't be caught unawares. Satan has an assignment to destroy your marriage. He wants to make your heart hard towards your spouse. He wants to make you bitter towards the one whom you love most. He wants to get you in such a spot that you cannot fix it, because he has an assignment to destroy your life. He wants to take out your kids. He wants to ruin their lives. And this is not to put fear in you, but the Bible says, be aware, be alert and of sober mind. You have an enemy. His name is Satan, and he wants to devour your life. The greatest lie he ever told the world is that he doesn't exist. And so he's kept himself in the dark. And so, you know, I'm not one that subscribes to that there's a devil under every rock, but they're under a lot more than we think. Like we have to be aware. Don't think he doesn't. You know, people are like, oh, in third world countries, that's where the demonic functions. Friends, I want to tell you, he functions in our countries, in fact, more violently, in my opinion. More openly in those countries, more violently in this country. We have to, don't be caught unaware. That some of the most intense deliverances I've had to deal with are those of anxiety, deep-rooted fear in people's hearts. I'm telling you, he has an assignment. Do not be caught unaware. Satan has power. It's sobering, isn't it? Just to like, just pull back and just recognize. Number two, his power is in deception.
Yeah.
Or the devil is a liar.
Yeah.
In John 8:42, it talks about how Jesus is speaking, he's saying, if you knew my voice, you would hear what I have to say. But he's like, you don't know my voice, so you actually listen to your father, the devil. And he talks about how Satan is a liar. He's been a liar from the beginning. In fact, it says there's no truth in him. It says his native tongue is lying. In South Africa, there are many different dialects, and some of them, you know, Afrikaans, there's English, there's Zulu, there's Xhosa. It's my best attempt at doing the Xhosa. Pop thing, but that's different cultures, different, they have native tongues that they're born into, and for Satan, his native tongue is lying, actually.
Yeah.
Like, it's all he knows how to do. And if we don't recognize this truth, then we'll fall subject to his lies, and you know, the Bible, the Proverbs says that as a man believes in his heart, so therefore he is. Now, if we believe the Bible to be true, then we have to acknowledge that this statement is true. But let me tell you what it says, as a man believes in his heart, so therefore he is. Let me tell you what he's not saying. He's not saying, if I think I'm black, then my skin will change colors. Do you know what I mean? Like, I have a friend named Josh, who's from Ghana. He's one of my best friends, and I love Josh and often want to be Josh. But as much as I believe that I am black like Josh, I guarantee my skin color won't change.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, I just love to just expose lies, because you can even feel as I start saying like the word black, everyone's like, oh, how can you say that? It's a little bit racist. But that's just a lie.
Yeah, that's right.
Like that tension that we feel, yeah. We go, oh man, careful. Yeah. Just, some people have dark skin, some people have light skin.
Yeah.
Some people from India, some people from Africa, some people from, you know, from Arab, I can't think of the word, the Middle East. It's I'm going to say the Middle East. Some people from Tasmania, some people, I'm just joking. Some people from Australia, it doesn't matter, but this lie creeps into our generation that if, we just have to expose these things. But what I'm trying to get to is, as a man believes in his heart, so therefore he is. And it's not that if I believe that I'm black, I will get black skin. But if I believe that I'm Josh, I'll probably start acting a bit more like Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
And so I present this because if we can recognize his lies, expose them, and replace them with truth, people would live a lot more free than they're living now.
Yeah,
like if we could get this truth, it would be fascinating for what we can do. So like one of the things in our generation that's crazy is things like anxiety, things like depression. And I'll give you a cool example that I think works really well. When I was about 15 years old, I was in love with this girl in high school. And I was convinced that she's the one that I wanted to marry, because at 15, these are the sort of things that you know really well. And nothing's gonna get in the way. This is the one, like here we are. You know, to my shock and horror, after a year of dating, we were no longer dating, and it was not my decision. It's a shock, I realize, but it's what happened. And so now I'm a 15, 16-year-old boy, and I'm actually quite heartbroken over this, because I really, really liked this girl. And so for a few weeks, I was really down about it. And for a couple of months, I was really down about it. 3 months later, I'm still just really like, this thing's messing with me. Because do you know heartache's a real thing?
Mm.
I think it's happened. When you invest into someone, and you're rejected by that person, that hurts. That's just sort of regular. That's life that happens. And so here I am, but this is now, 16 years ago. And so The generation we live in is very different. Although things like depression and anxiety were talked about then, in no way were they like the epidemic that they are today. But I believe it's because this lie has creeped into our generation that we've believed and subjected ourselves to, and now our generation is living out that lie. You see, if these many years ago, and if it was today, someone would have seen me, because I was really down about it. And someone could have, you know, come to my parents and said, hey, look, we've just noticed Joel's really down. Maybe he has depression. Now, my mother, if she wasn't aware of the truth, she might listen to that lie and look at some physical symptoms and just begin to think, gee, maybe he does. And now all of a sudden, my mother is entertaining this lie, but now my mother has authority over my life. And so she comes and she can speak to me and say, hey, sweetie, I know you're going through a lot. We just want to take you to doctors. Just maybe we think maybe you might have some depression. Now, what's going to happen is, as a young person, in fact, it can happen at any age, but I can sit there, and now this person with authority in my life has spoken out this idea that maybe I have depression. And now, as a young person, I have to process this lie that's filtering into my brain of maybe I do have depression.
That's it.
Then what's going to happen is I'm going to be taken to a doctor, often not a Christian doctor, mind you. And that professional is going to look at me, look at a few things around my life, and he's probably going to say, gee, you know what? Joel does have depression. They're going to hand me some pills, and they're going to give me these things that manage my problem. And I'm going to live, because all of a sudden this lie is coming. I've subjected myself. And if I believe that I'm depressed, I'm going to live like I'm depressed.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I believe I'm a victim, I'm going to live like a victim. Now, I'm putting all that out there to say this thing. I'm not trying to downplay those who are struggling with such a thing, but I'm trying to expose that not everything we go through is what we're being told. And you know, let me tell you some advice. Do not take your children to non-Christian psychiatrists or counselors.
Yeah.
Just don't do that. Because they're going to give you the wisdom of the world, not the wisdom of God.
Right.
Then on top of that, don't take them to Christians, counselors, and psychiatrists who function the same as the world. Find ones who function and find their truth and their strategy through the word of God. If you're one of those Christian counselors or psychiatrists, I urge you in the name of Jesus, do not function according to the wisdom of the world. Find the truth that's found in Christ to set them free, and don't just give them things to manage their problems the rest of their life. I had someone tell me, a pastor once say, depression is your friend. You just have to learn how to manage the friendship. That's a lie from Satan. It's called worldly wisdom wrapped in godly language, and we believe it. We have to expose the lies and get back to the truth. Did you know what I was going through? It was not depression, it was heartache. And that's normal sometimes when you get rejected. I was walking on the beach with my grandfather, and right at the end of this time, and he looked at me and he flicked me in the chin. It's because I was walking with my head down. And he flicked me in the chin.
Awesome.
We'll be arrested for that in 2019. My grandpa rocked away. But he flicked me in the chin. He said, you're my grandson. Walk with your head up.
Yeah.
And so I just picked my head up and I said, okay. And from there, it's like my heartache went away immediately, but I changed my posture.
Yeah,
I changed my thinking, and I began to walk out this thing, and it went away. Of course it did.
So good.
But and that's not to downplay. If you're struggling in this area, I'm not saying all you have to do is pick your head up, but I am saying change the way you think.
Yeah.
Believe the truth that you are not, you have the joy of God inside of you.
Yeah.
You may feel depressed. It doesn't mean you are depressed.
Yeah.
Change the way you think. Change your posture. Walk in victory. Walk in the blood. Because if we don't expose this stuff, we subject ourselves to it.
Yeah.
Like, did you know, if you're an introvert and you go to a party and there's like 100 people there and everyone's talking, the music's loud, and you like to just sort of stand to the side and not go in the middle. You like to talk to the people that you know rather than try and talk to someone that you don't know. Because if you're an introvert, talking to someone you don't know is a lot of effort. Did you know, if that's sort of how you feel in big groups of people, does not mean you have social anxiety.
That's right.
Just means you're an introvert and you don't like big crowds.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's totally okay. Or, you know, a good way to have anxiety, if maybe you have like a big test coming up, a big exam, maybe you're studying university or high school, the best way to have anxiety is to not prepare for that test.
That's right.
So even if that is your decision that you've made, just because you're anxious about the test doesn't mean you have anxiety. It means you're anxious because you're unprepared for your test.
Yes.
Or maybe you have prepared and this is this big thing coming up, like a life-changing moment for you. Maybe it's a test. I mean, maybe it's a decision. Maybe it's a job opportunity. I don't know what it is, but when you feel nervous around that decision, when you feel anxious around that test, it's just because it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And you're going to feel nervous. And you're going to feel a bit anxious around it. It doesn't mean you have anxiety. The feeling of anxiousness is not meaning you have anxiety. It means you feel anxious about a thing, and tomorrow, when that thing's done, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to expose this thing, because if we believe these things, then we'll start to live them. If you are anxious in a room of 100 people and someone says, you might have social anxiety, now you're going to start to believe, gosh, maybe I do. And now if someone asks you, you know, do you like, oh, I sort of have a social anxiety thing. And now you're starting to speak this truth out about who you are. It's not who you are. You just don't like big crowds. Come on, I'm just trying to expose some things, because my Bible says that you've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That God has destined you to reign as kings. I'm telling you, if we believe the lies, we'll subject ourselves to the lie and we'll live in that lie. It doesn't mean you are it, but you will live like it. Then you'll find yourself in this vortex circle, and now you'll have a chronic condition. But I'm telling you, even in the depths of your anxiety, in the depths of your depression, Christ can come and liberate you, because it's his truth that will set you free. Today I'm exposing the truth that you will not have to be a slave to your anxiety the rest of your life.
Come on.
You don't have to be a slave to that sin the rest of your life. You know another lie that they tell people? That men, males, part of your DNA, part of being a man is you're going to have a lust problem the rest of your life. And you know, that's like just part of your thing. It's okay, everyone has it, that's just part of being a male. Did you know the Bible doesn't say that?
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
The Bible says you have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
Does Christ have a lust problem?
No.
I'm telling you, if we believe it, then we'll live it.
Yeah.
If you believe you'll always have a problem, then you'll have an excuse every time you mess up, because we're always going to have a problem, because it's just the way we're wired. That is not true. You are wired with the blood of Christ. You have a new DNA. Maybe when you were a sinner, you couldn't escape it, but when you came into the family of God, stop believing that lie and don't subject it. Don't give yourself an excuse to live in that lie. Break free from it and say, I am not going to live this way anymore, because I am free from sin and shame. I am free because of the blood. Whatever it is for you, don't live according to the world's standard. Live according to God's standard. Because he who the Son sets free is free indeed. He's free indeed. Number one, Satan has power. Number two, his power is in deception. Worship to him can come. Number three, is that Satan has power, but he has no authority. He has power, but he has no authority. Matthew 12:28, Jesus speaking says, Luke 10:18, Jesus speaking says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. It's important to know that Satan has fallen. He is not on the throne.
Right.
I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Jesus speaking. He says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Jesus, the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth, said to his people, I give you my authority. Go in my name. I give you authority over snakes, over scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. He has power, but he has no authority, because Christ gave you authority over him and over every work that he's done in your life. Whatever he has come and robbed and stolen and destroyed in your life, you don't have to live like a victim anymore. You have authority to step into your destiny and say, what happened to me does not define me. What I'm going through does not define me. What I'm walking through does not define me. The word of God defines me. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I have been given the authority of God. Satan, you have no right. You are a liar. We expose you for your wicked, wily ways, and I will not listen to you anymore. Stop listening to the liar, because a fool listens to the liar. Go and find the source. Go and find the truth that's found in the Word, that you are a child of God. And if God be for you, who could dare stand against you? If you're struggling in any of the areas I've talked about, or maybe another area that I haven't talked about, do not believe you'll be stuck there the rest of your life, because if you believe it, you will live it. If you believe you're going to be imprisoned in that area for the rest of your life, enjoy your prison cell, make it comfortable. But I'm telling you, there's a better way. There's a better way. There's a better way. If you were rejected, I just sense so strong, there are people here that are living with feelings of rejection, whether it be from a marriage, a relationship, maybe a parent rejected you, maybe your parent left you, but I don't know, maybe it was a best friend who betrayed you, I don't know what it is, but don't live rejected the rest of your life. Acknowledge this thing happened and it hurt, but I'm not going to live in that mess. I'm going to walk out in freedom, because I am not depressed, I am not rejected, because I am accepted by God, even in my mess. Even in my frailty, even in my pain, even in my shame, He doesn't reject you. He says, just come to me. I'm going to walk with you. It might take a little while, but I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to hold you close. I'm going to train you. I'm going to teach you. Come on, I'm telling you, do not live according to the lies of the enemy. You are not rejected. You are accepted, because Jesus accepts you. He has power, but He has no authority. You've been given all authority, heaven and earth. You know, you can have authority over something, and you can tell it to do something, and doesn't mean they're always going to listen. But they do have to listen. You can have authority over the children in your family, and you can ask them to do something. It doesn't mean they're going to do it right away. Or the government, a police officer has authority over a criminal to say, don't do that, and the criminal can choose to obey them, but there are consequences for that criminal. Just because you say, well, I have authority, but nothing's shifting. Keep walking in your authority. Keep exhorting your authority, because it will shift. Things will change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take authority over your family. Take authority over your thoughts, for goodness sake. Not every thought you have is your own. Don't think it is. You ever had a crazy thought come your way and you're like, where on earth did that come from? Like, you have these thoughts and you're just like, what? Like, I was in London. I travel full time preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what I do. Salvation in Christ alone. I'm in a cab in London, driving to see a friend, and I'm listening. It's on Easter weekend, funnily enough, and I'm listening to this music, and all of a sudden this thought drops in my heart. But it sounds crazy, right? But this is it, like it got in. And I'm in this cabin and I was like, this is the thought. I know he was probably a real person, but is he really the Son of God? Right? Or was he just a man who died? Like it's like my thoughts tried to justify. I believe that he died, I believe that he gave himself up to people, but he was probably a crazy person. And this is the thing that's getting in my heart, and I felt it, and I was like, God, man, have I just been deceiving people? If I don't know the truth that the devil is a liar, I'm going to start to think all of a sudden I've had this profound epiphany that yes, Jesus was real, but he's not the Savior. And if I subject myself to that lie, then Satan's got me.
Yeah.
This is how do not believe every thought that goes in your head. They're not all yours. You get to take them captive and choose what you do with them. Really quickly, all across this place, if you could just close your eyes, it'll be amazing. And the greatest lies that Satan has told the world is that Jesus is not the Son of God and he is not the Savior of the world. It's that same lie that secular spirit in London tried to provoke in my heart, to deceive even those who say they believe. And maybe you're in this room and you've never given your life to Jesus. Friends, I want to tell you, the Bible says that if you believe in Jesus, you will not perish but have everlasting life. But it also says, if you do not believe, then you are condemned and you will spend eternity in hell separated from God. But friends, the truth, the Bible says that God desires that not one would perish, but that all would be saved. desires that all would be saved. See, the truth is, God didn't send Jesus to send people to hell. The Bible says those that don't believe in Jesus are already condemned. He sent Jesus to come give people a way out. If you don't believe today, you need to make a decision that will determine your destiny, that will determine your eternity, to follow Jesus. If you've never given your life to Him before, friend, I don't know why you're here, what got you here, but today is the day. Or maybe you're here and you've once been in a relationship with God. You've been a part of church, but you know your life is not right with God. You are not living a life according to the words of Jesus. You might come to church every week, but you know you're not living for Him. Or maybe you used to come, but you haven't been in so long and you feel far from God. But for whatever reason, you are here today. Friends, I want to tell you, if that is you today, all you need to do, the Bible says, is repent. Change the way that you think. You see, you're walking in one direction and you think, it's so far, I've walked so far. Even if I turn around, I don't know how I'm going to get back there. I want to tell you what His grace does. That if that is you and you're walking in the wrong direction, His grace is so amazing that all you need to do is turn. And when you turn, He will meet you right there. There's not this big journey to get back there. And you're one decision away from right relationship with God. Make a decision today, friend, that will determine your destiny, that will determine your eternity. If that's you, you don't know Jesus, you never have, or you've walked far from Him, and you know you need to turn and come home today. On the count of three, if that's you, I want you to raise up your hand high. Do not be afraid. Do not be ashamed. God loves you. His plan is for you. If that's you, on the count of three. One, two, three. Raise it up high. Great decision. Great decision, sir. Who else is there today? Raise it up high. Say yes to Jesus. Great decision, man. Who else is there today? Anyone else? If that's you, 5 more seconds. Raise your hand up high. Great decision, sweetheart. Who else is there today? Come on, make a decision today that will change your life forever. 5 more seconds for eternity. If that's you, 5. Raise it up high. 4, 3. 2. Don't miss this moment, friends. 2.5. 1. Great decision, brother. Great decision. Today, many of you can open your eyes. Many of you have made a decision today to follow Jesus. I want to encourage you that there's something special about this decision. The Bible says in the book of Romans that if a man believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then you shall be saved. When you raised your hand up today, that was the believing in your heart. Or maybe you didn't raise your hand up, but you wanted to. Don't worry, the hand doesn't save you. Believing saves you. So maybe you wanted to raise it up, but you didn't. It's okay. You can believe in your heart. And what I want you to do is the next thing you need to do is to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you shall be saved. And the best way to do that in this church, I believe, is at the end of this meeting, there's a thing called the Yes Bar. There might have been some people that saw your hand, but if there wasn't, there's the Yes Bar. You need to go there and speak with somebody who's going to lead you through a prayer of salvation. It's the prayer of confession to follow Jesus. Friends, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, because something happens when you confess. Please, at the end of this service, make sure you do that. Find somebody who you can pray with and confess with that Jesus is Lord. Come on, let's give all those people a round of applause this morning. For the rest of us, I just want us all just to stand to our feet for a moment.